from producing videos to one of the organizations in our community helping out a lot of people.
Yes, indeed. And our guest on that point is Jordan Hussey, who's with the Jeffrey Dallas Gay Recovery Center. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us, please, how this organization started. That's very important. And what's its purpose?
Well, the organization is named after Jeffrey Dallas Gay Jr., who passed away 8 years ago as a result of an opioid overdose. And as a result of all of the opioid money coming, the state has actually opened about 30 RCOs across the state of Georgia.
RCO, Recovery Center?
Recovery Community Organizations.
Okay.
Yep, so we're a nonprofit organization funded through the state of Georgia and donations to provide one-on-one peer coaching, to provide things like alternative meetings, as well as the regular, like 12-step, AA, NA, Celebrate Recovery, Smart Recovery. We have Crystal Meth Anonymous. We have Break Every Chain now. We have Codependency Anonymous. Just a, you know, holistic approach to recovery is the goal. And, you know, we're able to do it because we have some major recovery champions in this community that are tired of seeing people pass.
I remember so well a good long time ago, I was a member of a civic club here. And I can remember the sheriff coming one day and having the program for the club. And he said, many of you in here do not think that addiction could possibly ever affect you. You think that's for a different social strata. And boy, has his predictions come true.
That's absolutely right. You know, I think that we've all been affected in some way. I think that we've all known someone who, you know, who's been affected by alcohol or other substances, or they know someone. I know that there are people that I've never met that knew about when I was struggling, because my mother would go to work and probably cry her eyes out because of the struggles that I was having. I always say that addiction is like this ripple effect. It affects us. It affects our families. It affects the community. We tend to have criminal behavior when we get behind the wheel of a car under the influence, or we start stealing or what have you. On the flip side of that, recovery has that same ripple effect. We start becoming contributing members of society. We start paying our taxes. We start giving back and being present for our families, our children, our parents. And we're able to make amends, or, you know, call it what you will. We're able to be there in ways that we weren't able to be there before. And so we're trying to create that ripple effect in this community.
Well, Jordan, something fascinating, I would love for you to speak to this, that I love about what's going on at Jay's Place, is people in recovery supporting people needing help with recovery. So speak to that just a little bit.
So we're certified peer specialists through addictive diseases. The Georgia Council on Substance Abuse is the one and only certification that you can get in the state of Georgia, or maybe even, you know, other states are actually coming to get this certification. And so we are certified peer specialists in addictive diseases. That's like, you know, I'm a person in recovery and I can share my story. But also just one-on-one meeting with someone, I don't have to fix that person necessarily. They don't necessarily need it fixed. They want somebody to understand and empathize with them and say, if this isn't working, let's try something else. You don't have to do it by yourself. I'll do it with you. I'll walk alongside you the whole way so that you're not alone. And the goal is to make them know that there are several options, many pathways to recovery. I know people that work out and that's all they do to stay well. Mm-hmm. And that works great for them. I know people that they practice self-care and that is their wellness. For me, it's a holistic. I go to church. I attend meetings. I share my story. I talk to other people and do service work. And it's, you know, it takes a lot. I was really sick and I need a lot more. But it takes what it takes. And the bottom line is don't give up.
Right.
That's the bottom line. You still have options. Even when you think that you've exhausted everything, you still have options.
Do you have a what we could call an inpatient facility, or is everything done on an external basis?
So we're not clinical at all. So we aren't a treatment center in that context. What we are is peer coaches, just, you know, providing support, added support. We don't want to be the end-all be-all, and we don't want to replace detox centers. I think that treatment centers and all those have their place and are necessary. However, what happens when someone comes back into the community after treatment? That, you know, they only know their old friends, mm-hmm. their old playgrounds, their old places that they used to go, and they're having to start all over with, you know, nobody. Well, we want to be that somebody. And if we can, we will be.
Well, and I love the idea that it's support. It's not so rigid that if it doesn't work for somebody, they don't feel like a failure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then just seeing somebody that's dealt with something similar to me, there's hope. They're thriving and surviving. Maybe there's hope for me. I just see the power in what you're doing there. So
yeah.
And is that some? So literally, I love the way you describe it, Jordan. It's to walk along this path with somebody.
That's right. I don't have to walk in front of you and show you what's going to work for you. I'm not going to walk behind you and make sure that you don't fall. You might. You right. might fall. You might stumble. It's hard, but I'll be there to stand you back up and say, let's keep going. Or if this isn't working, we'll try something else.
I would imagine that one of the great needs that you meet is to take away the loneliness that an addict feels, because an addict, I would assume, feels rejection by family, by friends, by work colleagues, and they need an empathetic, sympathetic voice. And certainly that comes more from someone who's been through it themselves.
Absolutely. So I think that more than loneliness, there's the stigma attached to. So whether people can empathize with you or not, I'm feeling so ashamed that I don't want to share it. Who am I? Why would I tell you? You know, if we are feeling that ashamed, then we never can talk about getting well. We don't know what options are out there because we're not willing to ask the questions. And fortunately for me, my struggle was so out there and blatant for all to see that when I got well, I think people were finally like, it's about time, you know, like, sheesh, we've been praying for you, you know. But the reality is there is such a stigma attached to it. And we isolate, we pull back. And that is, for me, normal behavior when I'm struggling. And so, you know, being in pro-social events, surrounded by people that think the way that I do, that behaved the way that I do, and don't want to anymore, is huge. It's everything.
Well, Jordan, and again, since we're on broadcasting, I'm thinking, how do we paint a picture? So maybe it's a parent, maybe it's an individual, I don't know. Somebody out there listening, what would be some scenarios of the kind of person that shows up for help? Or you see what I'm saying? What's some things that people, they may not know there's a resource, that they're out there dealing with something?
So we have meetings all across the board. We have parent support. That meeting is for parents of the child who is struggling, has struggled, and has found recovery, or they've lost as a result of. All across the board, we have all recovery meetings. So whatever your pathway, whatever the substance, if you're a family member of, if you're a friend of, if you're the individual that struggled themselves, we welcome you. Our goal is to be inclusive. Our goal is to show them that, you know, whether you're the one that's struggling yourself or you're the family member, the friend of, I've sent people who were the roommates of their friend that passed or, you know, overdosed and didn't pass, you know, they needed support, you know, and so we're able to just bring them in and love on them and say, you know, this is tough. Most of the time people know it's tough. That's why they're seeking out help. And the reality is they just want to be heard. They just want to be met right where they're at.
Well, and I appreciate the work you're doing. And again, I think more people, we just need to bring more awareness to what resources we have in this community. It's tremendous, yeah. Really, what's out there. Now, as a nonprofit, I'm almost wondering, too, and you can tell me if this isn't something I'm off base here, but what if somebody's out there saying, hey, I have a story or I've dealt with some of this. That's something I could buy into and wants to volunteer. Is that something?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. We'd love to have them.
Okay. And that would just be, how would they pursue that?
So they could just come by. We're on off of Thompson Bridge on Juanita Avenue. We could accept calls and just set up a meeting. You know, what I want to know is, the first thing I ask people when they come and they say they want to volunteer is, okay, what does that look like for you? Mm-hmm. Because I believe in self-directed care. At Jay's Place, we believe in self-direction. So what does it look like for you? What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about people? Do you have something deep within you that's drawing you out? Is it art? Is it music? What is it? You know, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's integrate it. I like
absolutely.
Well, that brings me to my next thing. You said something. When you bring up the word recovery, I don't know that for some people the thought of fun comes into the picture in your mind, but you said one of the things you really strive for is to help people realize that recovery can be fun.
Yes, absolutely. I've had, my life is better now than it's ever been as a result of recovery. And I get emotional just thinking about it because I was ready for life to be over because I didn't think it would ever get any better. And when I found recovery, it was a struggle in the beginning. And I found out that, you know, I just kept pushing. I found my people and walked alongside of them. And we do things like small events. We'll do a Super Bowl party. And it was a great way to, you know, just get people in the door and have a good time, have some wings and pizza and just, you know, binge out on football. We've done things like Friendsgiving where there's 120 people showing up in our tiny little facility and it's pouring down rain and they had to walk across the street to get there, you know, because they know we're going to feed you, we're going to have a whipped cream pie eating contest and we are going to get down. We want to have fun in recovery, you know, and I'm really looking forward to this year's events. Like, we're planning a White River rafting trip. We have a flag football event every year. Like, we want people to enjoy themselves, because if I'm miserable in recovery, then not what's the point, but almost.
Right.
You know, almost.
One thing we haven't mentioned, and I would think it would be rather essential, is this must have to involve families as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my family was affected by mine, and there are all families out there are affected in one way or another. And so we support them just as much as we support the peer themselves. They are our people. They're our people. And we have mothers that come to parent support. I had a mom right before I got here that came and said, you know, I've been looking for a place for my son to come. And I was like, well, we want you too.
Right. It's holistic. It has to be, right?
It is.
Well, Jordan, as we're kind of winding down now, we talked about the volunteers, but let's talk about the person listening that says, hey, that's my son or daughter. That's my spouse. Or that's me.
Mm-hmm.
How do they plug in? Because you said something beautifully. You said you found your people. And you've said a couple times, I don't know if you realize it, people are looking for their people. So what if that person's out there looking for their people and wants to know more about what you do? What's the best way to connect, get involved?
Well, they could call Jay's Place. We have Facebook Messenger, and we're on it. Me and the guys are on Facebook Messenger just about 24 hours a day. And so we answer, you know, messages as they come in. They can get on our website and reach out to us. They can send us an email. Our website is www.jsplacerecovery.org. Our phone number is, 678-316-0403. Just reach out, come by, and we'd love to have them.
And we'll have all this information on the show page so people watching can see that. But Jordan, thanks so much for the work you're doing with Jay's Place and the work you're doing in our community. And thanks for being a guest on North Georgia Business Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rhett, Graham, thanks so much for sharing your business and being with us today.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for having us here.
Dr. Bill, been another unique, fun, and exciting show here on North Georgia Business Radio.
And highly informative as well.
That's right. Thanks so much, guys. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, highlighting the people in our communities and the businesses. that they run and the good work they're doing right here on North Georgia Business Radio X.